this moment, this very moment, where are you at in your renewal with the Lord? Where are you at in your walk? So that's something I want us to go over. So Corinthians, written by Paul. And if you notice, Paul is kind of a bold individual. He's not afraid to make statements. He's not afraid to declare the glory of God. He's not afraid to call you out on your sins and so on. But in 2 Corinthians, he gives us an interesting look at renewal and what renewal can be. Now, up here in the slide, the inner renewal, have you been there yourself? Kind of burned out, destroyed, ruined in your mind? I have been. I've been there. I've been there a couple of times. Well, more than a couple of times. But all of us, at one time or another, have been right here. There's lots of different pictures of devastation. We could have shown you, besides, say, a forest fire, could have been, if you remember Mount St. Helens when it blew, it was 53 square miles that went up in smoke, flame, all that other kind of stuff. But sometimes, devastation or being like this, is it all bad? How many of you think it's all bad? How about it's all good? It's okay. Okay, where's my... Okay, guys, I don't know if too many of you ladies, but guys, how many of you just think that a power sander is the way to go? And you've just wiped out the surface of something you're trying to be very careful with. Well, when you have that sander going, does it have a tendency to go through paint, stain, marks, everything? And it just goes to all of a sudden raw wood. I've had it go too far a couple of times. And then I go, oh, wow, I've just ruined a piece of furniture. But God has his Holy Spirit sander, and this is what he does to us every once in a while, and it's good. The problem that we have is knowing that that's what's happening. When you have a bad day, how do you think God looks at it? Bonnie, when you have a bad day, let's pass the mic around, because I'm going to start picking on people here. And again, if you would sit somewhere else, I wouldn't have line of sight with you, Bonnie, and I wouldn't be picking on you. Okay.
I've now been warned.
Now all of you are forewarned, because if you're sitting where she seats, that's a doomed spot on the pew, okay? Okay. So have you had bad days where you forget that really maybe the Lord's in charge and he's trying to teach you something?
It's not bad days. It's bad months and years.
That's a little bigger than my sermon is ready to handle today.
So.
Okay.
Yes, I have.
Okay, so then how do you overcome that?
It's a process. It doesn't happen immediately. Sometimes you don't even recognize it when it's happening. It takes a while for God's Spirit to start to work in you and help you to see what is actually going on. The best thing that I do usually is try not to react and just let myself pray if I can. There are times that it's been bad enough I can't even pray. So,
all right. Well, let's hand this on over to Jason and Lisa, because you're in my line of sight and you're over there too. That doesn't matter. Okay. So you two, your family's been through a lot in the last year.
Yeah.
How have you recognized that it's not like Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But it's, at what point do you recognize that your inner renewal is, it's God doing it. It's not just circumstances. It's not the world. It's actually the Spirit going, hey, I want you to learn something.
Mm-hmm.
Good man, you hand it off.
For me, when I am forced to stop doing things, like, you know, I can't go in to work because I'm injured or whatever, and I have to slow down, and I think he sometimes has to remind me to stop and give him that time, you know. So when I slow down and give him that time, he starts to talk to me, and I know that, okay, I am learning something from it. So it's just a matter of, you know, putting some of those other things on hold and making him that priority. You know what I mean? Yeah, that helps me.
We've kind of had these things happen before to where they've come in bundles. And it seems like every time they do that, our family grows a little stronger together. And that's including the kids see it. You know, they see that we take care of one another and things. So that, I think, is, you know, you get past just the physical ailment of whatever it is, whether it's sickness or, you know, whatever kind of is thrown at it. The best memory I have is when Lisa was sick after a tonsillectomy, and our son suddenly got sick. And next thing you know, they're both, like, physically sick at the same time. And our daughter is up in the hallway holding the bucket for her son. I mean, there's a point to where after a while you're like, wow, that just really shows you, you know, we can come together and take care of one another.
So the bottom line is, for you guys, makes you stronger. You come together, you recognize it for what it is, and you don't panic. Right? Okay, so if you'll hand that mic back to John back there. Don't worry, John. Okay? So let me read you something here out of Isaiah. And we already said it. We've said part of it in the very first set of verses that Jenny was reading. Isaiah 40. I love Isaiah 40, verse 31. And those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not be weary. That's God's promise to each and every one of us. When you get tired, when you feel beat down, you don't have to. Go to Isaiah 40, 31. We'll walk but not be weary. We can run. God is there with us. So part of that is don't lose heart. It also, Paul also says in Ephesians 3:13, don't lose heart. When I came out of my cult, my Christian cult 40 years ago, I thought it was the end of the world for me. I really did. When I've come out of my first divorce back in 84, I thought it was the end of the world, and I was losing heart. And I cried out to God for forgiveness. I cried out to God and said, I need to be renewed. And he talked to me that night. He said, you're forgiven, Dave. You don't have to lose heart. So for me, it's been a long road of renewal. And each one of us has that story. It doesn't matter how old you are, you have the story. Jay and Jenny have a story. Janice, you have a story. Jill, Alvin, John, Tina, you guys have a story. There isn't a one of us here that doesn't have a story. Okay? John, at what point did you lose faith and you needed to have renewal to come back? Now, I'm putting John on the spot because he's one of our buddies from Mountain Vista who he and I have, he's always called me the Christian thug in his life. There's a story to that. Unless you want to talk about that story as part of your renewal. Here, I'll help you out. If you are, and she also came up here to help me with the Lord's Prayer sermon that one day, Cheryl Brown. And she makes Tigger look dead. She bounces everywhere, and she suffers severely from unbridled enthusiasm, and there's a few of us here that have the same malady. So, John, thank you very much. I know that that's something that's very special for you to share, so thank you for doing that. But the whole point is that John did not give up. He may have lost heart at one point, but he didn't give up. He's now, are you still the El Presidente for life for the church council and all that kind of stuff? Okay. So now he's risen from being in the back pew to now he's the leader of the church council for Mountain Vista. So that tells you that he's gone through leaps and bounds of growth. And someday he may tell you about Ron Gotch and myself from Mountain Vista being a couple of Christian thugs at Emmaus for him. And that was a life-changing event for you too then, wasn't it, John? Yes, and he may or may not ever share that with you. Anyway, let's get back to this. So we talk about do not faint. For what cause, though? Go open up your Bibles. Everybody grab a Bible, would you please? And go to Psalms 116. John, let me have that mic there. Thank you. Okay. So I need somebody to volunteer to read verses 1 through 4, 5 through 8, not the same person, 5 through 8, 9 through 13, and then 14 through 19. You want to do the first one here, Jenny? Yeah, there you go.
Psalm 116, verse 1 through 4. I love the Lord, and he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy, because he turned his ear to me, and I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me.
Thank you. Who else? Okay, who wants to do, it was 5 through 8. Who wants to do that one? Okay, Wayne.
The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, 9 through 13.
I walked before the Lord in the land of the living. I kept my faith even when I said, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my consternation, everyone is a liar.
Okay, and the last verses? Who wants to do that one? Okay, Bonnie, if you'll take it back there to Tini.
How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Finish it up?
Yes, please.
Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord.
Amen. That's a tremendous, Psalms 116 is a tremendous psalms of hope, praise, faith, but most of all what it says is it's all about the resurrection. It's all about, even though we are here on this earth, and outwardly we are falling apart, inwardly we're on our way to resurrection. You have to wonder sometimes, what effect or what benefit are we to other people? I am one of those who has said more than once, just kill me, Lord. Just take my life. I am of no benefit. I am of no value to anybody else. But then the Lord brings things along in my life to say, Dave, you have value. You have a wife. You have kids. You got a bunch of kids. I got six. I got 8 grandkids from the first 3. The other 3 haven't started yet. So there's value here for me in the natural as far as family. But then I go, what voice do I have? I don't have a voice, God. I'd like to serve you, but I don't know where to go. Lucky you, I'm here. You know, I'm here to be a trial and tribulation in your life, as some people might think. But I'm, hey, sorry. But at the same time, I meant to be a blessing to you. You, each of you, are gloriously having an effect on me. And I'm not saying it from the good, bad, and the ugly. You have an effect on me because I bounce into your personalities. I bounce into your spirits. And I'm learning from you. So I don't know who has the greater effect, me on you as the congregation, or you on me. Who's getting more training here? I'm one person to you, and there's about 40 of you in here right now. So I'm getting 40 different flavors of spirituality, your walk with God, all these things. So if you sometimes think that you do not have a benefit in the kingdom of God, you're wrong. You do, each and every one of you. Like Ev here. Ev comes in on Sunday mornings. He folds up all the bulletins for us. He sits in the same spot every day. And if you weren't there, Ev, I'd be really worried. So thank you for being here. To the Olson family that always sits in the back pew, I'm happy you guys are here. And I feel the same way for each and every one of you. It's funny how you've kind of settled into your pews. I'm glad we don't have Sharpies out and you're marking your name on, this is my pew. You know, this is mine, don't sit here. But each one of you has a benefit to each other. Now, let's see, who can I pick on next? All right, Janice, since you're hiding, you're next. Okay. So what was the benefit of when we did the prayer time to have you gather around different folks? What benefit was there to that? Where's the mic at? We need the mic. John, if you'll bring it up here to Janice. What benefit was that of gathering around different people and having the prayers? Make sure the little light comes on where it says four, comes up in blue.
I think the best is community.
Now you're on.
I think the best is being a Christian community. Being brothers and sisters to pray for them and keep them in your prayers and love them.
Okay. Are we glorifying God by standing around each other, laying hands on people, and praying for them? Yes, absolutely. Okay, one question down, eight to go. Okay, so give it to Larry. So Larry, how was it for you when we were praying for you? How were you feeling about that? But come to me in love. Come to me in faith. But it's hard for me to accept prayer because I'm always feeling the one that I'm the one who needs to be pouring it out. And sometimes God comes to me and says, Dave, you got to slow yourself down. You need it too. Don't be afraid to let them all gather around you. Because what I feel is embarrassment. I shouldn't. I shouldn't feel that at all. But yet I do. Because there's a little thing in there called vulnerability and weakness. And it's hard sometimes to say, yeah, I'm vulnerable. Yes, I'm weak. And I need the prayer. Because it's not always. Go ahead, Chris. Okay. Yeah, bring it on up here. I'll just hang on to it. Thank you, Chris. Okay. So what's the point so far this morning? Is one, what we read out of Isaiah 40, verses 31. Don't be weary, faint not, we're going to walk in Christ. We have the resurrection, as it says in Psalms 116. You are of benefit to one another. You are a benefit to yourself. Cry out to God. You are a benefit to one another. If somebody says, hey, I'm hurting, pray for them. Give them that hug. If they're unwilling to admit, yeah, they've got issues. Have we all been there once or twice? There's no one of us here that hasn't said, no, I'm fine. I'm good. I'm all right. And inside, you're dying. You're falling apart. If you sense that in your brother or sister, pray for them. You don't have to pray for them on the spot. They're, you know, for whatever reason, they've got their walls up. When you get home or at the workplace or in your car, pray for them. You are a benefit to them by prayer. Verlaine found out that prayer works great, huh, Verlaine? It really does. It's amazing how it works. So be faithful to that. We're going to talk some more about this next week as far as inner renewal. But I wanted, today was more an awareness. God is changing you. He's changing me. He's changing this church. This church is not the same church as it was several years ago, 1 year ago, 6 months ago. This church is growing. This church is changing. There's hope coming in, light coming in, the fear is leaving, so is the darkness. You as a congregation have changed a lot. God loves you. God loves each and every one of you. He's forgiven you for your sins, and he loves you. So glory in that. When you get home today, go, Lord, I love you. Say it out loud. I dare you. Very good. I'm impressed. Okay, well, say it again when you get home, okay? But the point is that God wants to shower you with love. Just soak it in. Be that sponge. Just soak it in because it's all around you. And get rid of the brain. Not literally. But get the mind out of it. Relax. Just go and let the Spirit speak to you. Let it minister to you. Okay? You think you can do that? And all of God's people say? Amen. All right.